Behold the Lamb of God. So preached the John the Baptist, pointing his finger to the Lamb dripping wet from his baptism in the Jordan. Two of his disciples followed Jesus without delay. Andrew was one of them. Andrew then proclaimed to his brother Simon, "We have found the Messiah," bringing him to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. What a profound and thankful way to close another church and liturgical year by hearing these words of the gospel. This proclamation delivered Jesus to Andrew. The gift he received had overflowed so that he could not but extend it to his brother. Andrew brought to Jesus not only his brother, but also a boy with loaves and fish, and the Greeks who would see Jesus. Saint Andrew's Day. The Byzantine Church gave him a title, Protocolatus, the first called, because of our text. Eusebius informs us that Andrew preached in Scythia, country south of the Black Sea. Theodoret tells us that he passed into Greece. A sermon attributed to Athanasius states that Andrew preached and was crucified in Greece. The manner of his martyrdom on November the 30th is not altogether clear, but the apocryphal Passio says that Andrew was crucified being not nailed, but bound to an X-shaped cross on which he suffered and preached the people for 2 days before he died. Tradition has it that it was because of Andrew's preaching that the wife of the wicked Roman proconsul became a Christian, which so enraged that official that he ordered Andrew's crucifixion. Andrew felt unworthy to die in exactly the same manner as his Lord, hence the X-shaped cross. Two countries have chosen Andrew as their patron, Russia and Scotland. The Lord sent Andrew to the places where he had him go, making disciples by baptizing, by teaching. The Lord used him as his instrument for preaching, absolving, baptizing, and the Lord's Supper. But all these fruitful missionary works of the office of the Holy Ministry of Andrew had a beginning. The beginning was the preaching of the John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God." The image of the Lamb evokes sacrifice. Its blood poured out at the base of the altar, its body burnt up as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The image is vivid and lively. The Old Testament is full of lambs. The lambs of the temple, by whose blood the children of Israel were forgiven. The Passover lamb, by whose blood the children of Israel walked to freedom. Abraham said to Isaac, "God will provide a lamb for a burnt offering, my son." The ewe lamb slaughtered by the rich man in Nathan's parable to David. The Ebed Yahweh slaughtered the suffering servant of Isaiah, who is led like a lamb to the slaughter. The countless lambs sacrificed every morning and every evening at the tabernacle and at the temple, continual burnt offering for the sins of Israel. But the lamb that John the Baptist preached and Andrew heard was not any lambs, but the Lamb of God, God's Lamb, the true Paschal Lamb, the Lamb born of the Virgin, sacrificed and roasted on the cross for our sins, for the life of the whole world. Dr. Luther taught in his lectures on Psalm 51 in 1532 that a lawyer speaks of a man as an owner and lord of property, and physician speaks of man as healthy or sick. I might insert here that Germans would speak of man as how man can make a perfect possible automobile, and the Japanese would speak of man as how man can make more money by making automobiles that people would like to buy. But Dr. Luther continues that a theologian, unlike a lawyer and a physician, discusses man as a sinner. There he uses the capital letters, bold printing, a sinner. The theologian is concerned that man become aware of this nature of his corrupted by sins. Our whole nature is crushed by sin, and that there is nothing left on which he or she can rely, and that he can see his or her righteousness has been reduced to absolutely nothing. David broke entire Decalogue, yet he would not have acknowledged his sin if Nathan had not come, but would still have wanted to be known as a righteous and holy king. David the sinner, Dr. Luther calls him, Masaki the sinner, we the sinner. We flee from him, hate him, minimize our sins coram Deo. We no longer sense the weight of our sins. A theologian speaks of a man as a sinner. But where are our sins? Where are they located now? Not some of our sins, or some of the sin of some representative parts of the world, but all our sins, and the sin of the whole world, have been placed on the back of the Lamb. The only sin still remaining are those sins that we want to keep and enjoy, refusing to receive forgiveness. Christ is made a servant of sin, yes, our servant, a bearer of sin, and the lowest and most despised person. As Dr. Luther calls Christ to have become the greatest thief, murderer, adulterer, robber, discreditor, and blasphemer. As if our Lord would say to us, you are no longer a sinner, but I am. I am your substitute. You have not sinned, but I have. Where are your sins located? On Christ, the Lamb of God. This Lamb of God is told throughout the liturgy. But in the first LCMS liturgy, which had been handed down to them, confessed him also in Benedictus following Sanctus. While we now sing more literally, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, our forefathers confessed the Lord either by singing, blessed is the Son of Mary who comes in the name of the Lord, or blessed is the Paschal Lamb who comes in the name of the Lord. There they confessed Christ the King, not of majesty, but of Ebet Yahweh, the one born by the Virgin, suffered on the cross, and is coming to the Lord's table. The Calvary's Passover Lamb is now our life-giving body and life-giving blood. We are then in company of heaven, extolling the Lamb who once was slain, who sits upon the throne, and who gathered his people to his table to give them his body and blood to eat and drink for the forgiveness of their sins. Just minutes ago, we sang, all praise, O Lord, for Andrew, the first to welcome you, whose witness to his brother named you Messiah true. May we, with hearts kept open to you throughout the year, confess to friend and neighbor your advent ever near. We pray that throughout the year, the Lord may open our hearts and lips so that we may confess to friend and neighbor his advent ever near. But this is not just speaking to our friends about Christ here and there, which also is quite important, but more so to confess the Lamb of God who takes the sins of the world and to invite and bring them to the liturgy. Our sin is weighty and serious. but his mercy is immense and inexhaustible. Though we are sinners in ourselves, we are not sinners in Christ. This coming Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, we hear this acclamation again. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God. This preaching gave faith to Andrew. The same words resound every Sunday. St. Andrew's Day, every day. All praise, O Lord, for Andrew, for our sin is now placed on the Lamb of God. Amen.